Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that whether we're 3 or 103, we never get beyond that great message that you love us. For the Bible tells us so. We thank you that it has warmed the heart of a person like Tempe, not always blessed with so many of the good gifts that others have, but that living, strong relationship with you. So because you can work in our hearts, we pray that you will speak to us once again this morning and grant, Lord, that we may leave here knowing that you are for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, the text for the day and the word of God says, what shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I'd really like to ask you that in a very personal way today. Do you believe from the bottom of your heart, from the very bottom of your heart, that God is for you? I run into an awful lot of people, many of them, who evidently do not feel that he is, for they are distant from him, and they often do nothing but complain about him. Today I'd like to visit with you on the basis of our text, that God is for us. As I mentioned to you last week, I have been reading a book written by Scott Peck entitled The Road Less Traveled. In his book, Dr. Peck, a psychiatrist, goes on to say that there are many people who have an ugly faith. I don't think I've ever heard that expression before, but this psychiatrist calls it an ugly faith. Peck writes, these people view God as an angry monster who not only could cut their throats, but in eagerness is anxious to do it and to punish them for all of their transgression. Now, I've had a little trouble with some of the things that Dr. Peck writes in his book. I do not believe everything that he says, but I do agree with him here that religion has caused many people to have serious, and I mean serious, psychological problems. I have seen it again and again. It is not Jesus Christ that does it. It is rather a religion that is distorted and has a very, very poor understanding of God. This has caused me to say again and again to people, religion can drive you crazy, but Jesus Christ will turn your life around. Religion of the worst kind will drive you crazy, and it has many people, but Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him will turn your life around. Our early training about God, coupled with our experiences as we walk through life, my friend, often shape our lives, our faith. Why is it that so many people today, and I'm sure that's been true in every age, have really no relationship with God at all? Let me try to illustrate that. Somebody is facing a real problem. Not as much as they used to, but they still come to my office some. I try to send them to Colfet, but they land there in my office. And so I sit and talk with them. And as they talk about their problem, I say to them, now you understand where you're sitting. Well, yes. You understand who I am. Yes. You're a pastor. Okay, you have come for some spiritual help, I assume. Well, I guess so. What part do you see God having in working through your problem? How can God help you? Well, the answer is often, and they're very kind and polite, I don't know, I think I've got to work this out myself. And when you begin to talk in a very serious way about God Almighty really entering into the everyday affairs of our lives, they begin to wonder, well, what in the world is this all about? What is this all about? And so I say to them, well, if I can't help you this way, I have some good friends who are in the world of psychiatry, and I know they can help you. But all I can do is point you back to Jesus Christ and see how he works. Often when I ask those people, what was your relationship with God in your home? They will tell me, I was raised in a home where God was never or seldom mentioned. Now that doesn't mean that from the time you left home until now, something hasn't happened. You might have been converted. You might have come into a living personal relationship with God, and you can look back on your home and say, it wasn't very good. The Bible was never opened. We seldom went to church. But since then, I have come to know the Savior, and I love him. And that's marvelous. But often, if there isn't that experience in later years, and you have had no home background in your relationship with God, God obviously has nothing to say to you right now because he is not a part of your life. There's another kind of relationship with God that starts early in life. And that is one, and I think that is what Dr. Peck refers to here. And certainly he is right. Sometimes parents present to their children a monster God, a God who is out to get them. I have a cousin who was raised that way. Poor woman, she was told again and again, we have to be careful or God will judge us. We have to be careful or God is going to send us to hell. I'm not here today to say that God is easy on sin, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But to give that kind of an experience to a young person as he or she is growing up distorts their mind. It distorted her mind. Every time the church bell rang, she had to run. And if she didn't run and get into the church, she was afraid that God was going to destroy her. She went through a terrible marriage, awful marriage, lived with a man until the man died. I was called one time to the city in the Midwest where she lived by some people and said, come and spare her before he kills her. And when Eunice and I found her, she had to stay with him because it was the will of God. It went way back to that haunting experience of God as a monster. Terrible. That is not the God of the New Testament. My wife told me a story this week as we were talking about this text. And she told about a Sunday school teacher that she had who one day came into the Sunday school class and had a picture of God, as if you could draw a picture of God, you know. But a person with a long beard, and you probably have heard this before, it's nothing new with her Sunday school class, with a long quill pen and a great big book. And the teacher said, every time that you sin, God makes a black mark. Well, that's half of the story. What she didn't say was that if you trust in Jesus Christ, he takes all the black marks away. That's the gospel. But that Sunday school class didn't get it. Fortunate for my wife. She was raised in a very, very strong, Christian, committed home. And when she got home, her father and mother were there to meet her with the grace of God and the love of God. And that's the third kind of a home that we have. A home that teaches its children, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. The Wooks taught Tempe that. She could learn that. And when she sat there this morning at that first service and we were singing, I had no idea I was going to bring her up in front of the congregation, but I saw her making those signs. It was coming from the bottom of her heart, Jesus loves me. So I thought, well, we got to let the congregation see this. I can't just share in that. You see, what we are trained with, people, you who have those children, I tell you, it is a full-time job. Tell them that God loves them in Jesus Christ, that he is for them. Certainly, he does not condone the sins but he is for us. Well, if there are all these funny ideas about God, where do we go to get the right one? And the answer to that has been given to us by our Lord. One day, the disciples said to Jesus, "Show us the Father." And he gives two tremendous Bible passages. "I and the Father are one." In other words, Jesus is God. Then he turns around and he says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." You want to know what God is like? Look at me. Where do we meet Christ? In the New Testament. So read your Bible, friend. Read your Bible, and Jesus Christ will tell you who your heavenly Father really is. Yeah, you can look at a pine tree. You can go to the Rockies. You can go to the oceans. You can go to this beautiful creation that God has given, and there we can be edified. But it is only when we get into the Word of God and meet God in the person of Jesus Christ who is there that we'll have a full understanding of who God in Christ Jesus really is. One of the most marvelous passages of Scripture that we have describing God is the epistle that I read for you this morning and that many of you have been studying during the past week. And that's where that great question comes. If God be for us, who in the world can be against us? And then Paul, and time does not permit, but Paul just begins to rattle off one thing after another to show that God is for us. The first thing he says is, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Stop and think of it. Now there is where sin comes in. Lest you think that I'm presenting a God who does not take sin seriously, who winks at sin and says, "Well, they're just my fallen kids." No. Sin is dreadfully serious to God. Your sin, my sin. The sins of this world, the sins that we talked about last Sunday as far as America is concerned. He's not just sloughing off those sins. But what did he do about it? He sent his son. It was necessary. There was no other way out of it. God sent his son to die on the cross as a payment for our sins. He gave his son for us. Can you say then that God is not for us? Could you imagine giving up your son or your daughter for another person? No. No, that's a call beyond duty. Can't do that. But God loved you and me so much that he gave up his son. He's for us. He's for us. He does not want to send anybody to hell. There will be many who will go to hell. But not because of God. Because they rejected all. Look at the second picture that he has in his text. He makes intercession for us. He intercedes for us. Here you get the courtroom scene. God the Father, the judge, will say, sitting there, maybe with his quill pen and the book and all the rest. I don't know how you want to picture it. It matters not. But as we would have been sentenced to everlasting damnation, God in his mercy and love in the person of Jesus Christ comes in and says, "Father, I died for them. I died for them. I took their sins." He is not the prosecuting attorney. He is a defense attorney. There it is in God's word. He indeed makes daily intercession for you as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. My mind cannot understand it, and I can't proclaim it any more than that. But we have one in heaven's gate, friend, who is interceding for us. Wow. You say he isn't for us? Thirdly, he is the one who gives us a right understanding of judgment. What is it that Jesus says, or Paul says here? Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. And that gives us that great thought that Paul mentions again and again about the judgment of people. Now, I realize that we are social beings, and I want to be well thought of by you, and I trust that you want to be well thought of by other people. But I wonder sometimes if it just doesn't drive us nuts, wondering what in the world does he or she think about me? There is a passage in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians that has a great deal of meaning for me, and I know that I quote it to myself several times a week. And it says something like this. It is a small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I don't even judge myself. It is the Lord who judges. Doesn't mean that it is not of any concern at all that what people think about us, but it is a small thing when we know that God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. Don't we play a lot of games? Don't we get ourselves all upset? Don't we sometimes almost become neurotic, wondering, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? What are they going to do if I don't measure up to it all? That's a weird way to live. And the Word of God is telling you this morning, God is for you, and in Christ He will forgive you. And when He has forgiven you, then yes, be concerned about what others say, but don't let it drive you wild. We played all kinds of funny games. I don't know if we play these games anymore, but I'll never forget. You know, the church that we came from took a rather dim view of playing cards. You come from that background, play rook, play flinch, couldn't play cards. Couldn't have a face card. Well, we were led astray, my wife and I. I remember one time we were right out of the seminary down in that marvelous, marvelous parish in Atlantic. The only other parish we had, but they were wonderful people down there. And one night we were invited to a place and they were going to teach us how to play canasta. It took Eunice and I a month to get over there. We had played canasta, you know, but we liked it so much that after the month was over, we went out and bought some cards, and we played canasta. And then we came here to Cedar Falls, and you really led us astray. You taught us how to play bridge, and we've had some delightful evenings with our friends playing a little bridge. Well, we had cards in the home. I wouldn't have dared to have said that at the beginning of my ministry, but we had some cards there. Now we were going to have some special meetings at our church. And Carl J. Wilhelmson, one of the great preachers of his day in the Lutheran church, was coming to spend several days in our home. Marvelous man. I had the privilege of doing some of my intern work under him. I said to my wife, you know, I'm sure that Wilhelmson has no appreciation for cards. Hide them real well. Well, we hit the cards. The rest you understand, don't you? Huh? Right in the middle of the whole thing, when the kids finally got tired of playing with all of the other toys they had, they ran to their mother at dinner one night and said, "Where are the cards?" Eunice almost died, and I ran. What in the world were we going to do? Wilhelmson turned around and said, "I like to play rook." And we had to confess they were not rook cards. They actually were the ace and the king and the queen and the jack and all the rest. Well, that's our home. That concern for the judgment, to put God in the right perspective. And I'm not talking now about a game of cards, but so many other ways. It does not matter what others say. It is what God said. He set us free. Finally, in this great, marvelous chapter, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" And as you read through this, you know, he doesn't paint a very nice picture of this world. He says that here in this world, we are faced with trouble and hardship and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword. And he goes on and on. He doesn't describe this world as ever being a utopia. And certainly he says, because you're in this world, you're going to be afflicted with it. Now what are you going to do when it happens? See, that's the old question again. Why? Notice what he says. Any person who is in the Word of God at all will never wonder, why do these difficulties come? They come simply because we're a part of this world. That's answered very easily. Now, the timing of when they come, that's a little bit more difficult. But that they're going to come, that's here, it's a tough picture. What is it that each one of these difficulties that Paul talks about here does? It separates us. It separates us. When the difficulties come and there are storms, Dick Grain from our congregation, whom some of you have seen on television during this past week, has just returned from California, where he was working with the earthquake victims. A lot of these people lost everything they have. Their possessions are gone. They have no insurance. Storm can separate us from that which is important to us, our material possession. I was with a man the other day who a year ago was an image of health, good golfer, got sick. The sickness has changed his life. He will never be the same again. It separates him from a lifestyle that he likes. The other morning in the hospital room, we stood around the bedside of Harold Slosson, who had breathed his last breath, dead. That separates. Separates from a wife who loved him with all of her heart. Others of you sit in the congregation this morning. As I look down on you, your heart is still heavy, and it will be heavy for a long time. A husband or a wife has been taken, one just as near and dear to you as any of us who still have our spouse. Some of you sit here as divorcees, know how difficult it was to walk out of that courtroom and everything is behind you as far as marriage is concerned. Probably even harder. Life circumstances can separate us. But notice what Paul says. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No earthquake, no illness, no death, for we are His forever and ever. God is for us, friend. And when we get these bad notions of God, and when our faith becomes ugly, let the Word of God and its power flush it out. Flush it out. And may we remember this even in trying times. God is for us. Let no experience, let no person ever change your mind. God is for us. And with that, we can begin another week. And with that, pointing back to the scriptures, we can address a world that sometimes has an ugly faith. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western home communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western old people's home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's Western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.